People are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. The hiring process can be slow and overwhelming. Simplify hiring with Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. Join more than 3.5 million businesses worldwide that use Indeed to hire great talent fast. Listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. That's Indeed.com/PODKATZ12. Terms and conditions apply.
This episode is powered by DenMeditation.com. Though meditation is the primary focus, the bigger goal is for people to understand and love themselves, thus creating more harmony in the community at large. To find out more about Den Meditation's teacher training programs, retreats, and all things Den Meditation, go to denmeditation.com.
Welcome to Den Talks Podcast. This is Tal, your host, the founder of Den Meditation. We have Marie Diamond on today. This is a treat for all of you. You're going to want to take notes because there are so many amazing things to take away, and I can't wait to hear people's results. She is one of the world's top transformational leaders. She is an incredible teacher of feng shui and manifestation and the law of attraction. And I'm telling you, she gives us so many tips in this episode on what you can do very quickly to increase success, money, passion, relationships, wisdom, health, all through just doing little tweaks in your house. And her whole point, which I love when we talk right off the bat, is how there's three tiers to manifestation, and most of us are missing the environment part of it. So this is a great episode for you guys. I cannot wait. Please DM us. Please let us know what results you guys see when you try these. And thank you, Marie Diamond, for being here. And I hope you guys enjoy the episode. I find your story to be fascinating, and what you're teaching is incredible. And I want to jump right in and then also get to some of your story, because the story is so great. But I love how, I mean, you've influenced and taught and, you know, really helped so many people hone in on the true idea of manifestation. Because I think one of the things you say, which I love, is how it's three-tiered, and how often in the world, we're kind of taught one version of it, or maybe two tiers, but not always the full thing. And so people tend to get stuck, or they wonder why it's not working. And it's like all three things have to be balanced. So talk a little bit about that, because then it really talks about what you kind of bring to the table.
Of course. So yeah, you know, like you said, you know, manifestation, law of attraction, you know, people tend to look at it from one direction. And so what I learned from my master was that there were three parts to it. And so the first part was, you know, when we come into this world, we already got a manifestation going, right? We're coming with our soul into a vessel. And so we are born in a certain culture, a certain family. We got some talents, perhaps some challenges at the beginning. And so we have like a basic package, right? And we also have part of it is our purpose in life. Yeah. So we want to finalize and manifest that purpose, perhaps to be an artist, perhaps to be a great mom, perhaps to be a great technician or a scientist. I don't know what your purpose is. So this is actually original basic aspect. But we say we call that the spiritual part of manifestation, because it comes like from your soul. Right. It doesn't something that you had anything to do with directly. Or God or the universe, whatever you call it. And so I always say, can you improve that? Yes, of course, by connecting in with your intuition, connecting in through religious or spiritual practices, you can tap in more to that soul, that purpose that you have here. Now, most people sometimes will call that karma or destiny, and they will say, well, that's 100%. I just follow that, right? Yeah. And I would, well, it actually, there's two other tiers. And so the second one is what we call the human part. And the human part is like, okay, you have now all these gifts. You have a human body, you have a mindset, you have a heart, you have a body. What do you do with that? Yeah. And, you know, how do you express yourself? How do you express your human potential? So you can have a talent when you like singing, but you never do something with your voice. You never practice. You never think of yourself. You have a great voice. You don't feel good about it. Well, then that voice will just be heard in the shower. Let's put it this way. Right. But if you work on it, it's possible that one day you'll be a famous singer. That's your human potential. And of course, a lot of the people focus on that part because they would call that developing the self, developing the human self. And they would do that with creating a better mindset, which is very important, better behavior, feeling good about yourself, self-esteem, for example, is important there, but also to take actions, right? So do something with that potential. So in the self-help industry, I would say everybody's focusing on that. It's like you're 100%. If we can improve our mindset, we'll create different results. Now, of course, you will do, and it's something we need to do, but it creates a lot of discipline, right, to do this every day. It's not like a one-time thing you can do. You have to do it nonstop. You have to grow with it and to become a better human being. So I would say to people, yes, it's not 100%. It's only like one-third. It's one tier of that whole manifestation because there's a last part to it. And the last part is what we call the environmental part. It's like where you are living, where you're sleeping, where you're working, your home, your office, the location where you express yourself is actually as important as, you know, expressing your potential. And so the Chinese understood that in like thousands of years ago, they understood that location is everything, but that location, how it looks in that location is also as important because that is feng shui is one of the energy systems that can help to practice this, also dowsing. So it's actually really tuning into the flow of that space that is around you where you practice being you. And that is the last part of the manifestation. And that's the part that most people haven't been focusing on. And that's kind of what I talked about in The Secret briefly. And that is what I've been focusing on for the last 30 years to really help people to understand this is the last third that is the easiest to change. Now, changing your desk, changing a color, changing an image. I mean, it's like a subconscious field that is all around you or a quantum field of energy. And by practicing that, you literally can change things very quickly. It's like, I almost call it like an energy hack, right? You can change things and then suddenly like things manifest so much easier. And so, and it helps you to get a better mindset and ultimately it helps you to manifest your soul purpose.
That's, I mean, and it's amazing. And you have so many incredible stories, which we should share some too, of how you just tweaked some little things and crazy changes or goals that you wanted all of a sudden appeared within days. I mean, talk a little bit about, I think, like the Steven Spielberg, I think is a perfect example. Will you talk about that? Because that was such a...
That was a beautiful story. So, you know, I came in America in 2001 and I wanted to also be in a movie seen by millions of people. But I also want to attract, you know, Oscar-winning clients. So I got myself a fake Oscar and I put that in my success direction. We're going to come back to that. And so this is a specific place for everybody personally that if you activate and put out the right things inside the universe, reads it fast and make manifest it fast. And so I put out my Oscar and I got within a month my first Oscar-winning client that just called me out of the blue. And I just kept having clients that had one Oscar. And so one day I was like tuning in. I'm like, you know, it's interesting. I never have clients that have more than one Oscar. So I bought myself two other fake Oscars and I put them in his direction. I mean, it's just like, I don't know how to get to them. So the universe knows how. So let me just tell the universe what I want. And it was on a Tuesday morning. And so the Thursday, I get a phone call from an assistant. And she's like, I'm an assistant of a VIP client, but I cannot tell you who it is before you sign off on it. But we would love for you to come. And I said, well, I hope it's not somebody, you know, or could you tell me who referred you, right? I don't want to work for everyone. Like, there has to be some good intentions in their life. And she said, well, yeah, you was referred by this and this client from you. I'm like, okay, I'll trust it. And so they asked me to come the week after, on the Tuesday afternoon, to come to one of their homes, because they had several homes. And I come in, and it was totally empty, that house, because they were renovating it. And then I asked them, like, I need to know, like, birthdays, because I need to focus on the personal energy. And can you give me at least a first name, right? And I said, well, the first name is Steve. I'm like, okay, cool. And then they loved I was going through it, and they loved what I said. So, well, could you also do the office of Stephen? I'm like, okay. So I go into the office, and there I see it is the office of Steven Spielberg. It's all pictures of him with the white shark. It's like with one with E.T., one with the Transformers, like all the movies he had been doing. I'm like, okay. And then I'm looking around. There are no Oscars. Till then, they asked me, can you also come into our personal and check things out? And I come into the personal bedroom, and I see there are three Oscars, and I'm like, oh, three Oscars, oh my God, you know, I have three Oscars, a fake one. So, and what happened was, like, I asked, like, you know, when did you decide to call me? Well, we know about you for 4 years. Your people around us have been talking about you for 4 years, but only last week, Tuesday afternoon, that was like a few hours after I put my Oscars out, we had a conversation with somebody, and she said, like, it's really time for you to get Marie Diamond in. So that's why we ultimately gave the permission to the assistant to call you on Thursday. So a week later, I'm in the home of a person that has three Oscars. Yeah.
That's so crazy.
Place, but I put them now in the right place, so we're good. But so interesting. Meanwhile, his company has won a Ford Oscar, so now I have four fake Oscars out, because otherwise I don't keep the energy going.
Well, that's an interesting point too. When you're working with your spaces, and I want to talk about that too, and people's specific directions and certain goals or manifestations people want, talk about the idea of having being able to shift with it, change with it, evolve with it.
Yeah. So the first thing I always suggest to people, like, if you really have certain goals, I would love for you to become aware of the home and to see if the home, the images, the colors, anything around you is reflecting that goal that you want. For example, you want to be in a relationship. And I was just talking to somebody, like, yeah, I want a relationship. And I said, what did you hang above your headboard? And you said, oh, I put an image of Barbie. Yeah. And but, well, let's be honest. And she's a grown-up woman. As she said, like, I feel like a Barbie. And I said, yeah, but Barbie is not so in love with, you know. She said, well, I can put Barbie and Ken. I said, well, that was not such a great relationship either. I will look at the movie, right? So, so what you want and what is around you is like a subconscious vision board. I call it a three-dimensional vision board. So become aware already. First of all, in romance, and there are all images of solitary people, you're giving yourself permission all the time to stay single. Yeah. So you need to evolve in it. Like, if you evolve into a relationship, and then you want to evolve into have a family, then put things around it that represent that energy. So, or you have children, and but they're now grown-ups, and you still have pictures of them as babies, you're not either. You need to stay current. Yeah, with the situation as it is right now. Or people say, I come in the office, is like, oh, so you are still an accountant. No, 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 I'm a life coach now. Like, well, everything around you is telling me you're an accountant. Yeah. So where are your certificates as a life coach that let go of the books on accountancy and finance and focus on books on coaching? So you need to start, first of all, becoming aware of where you are right now, and see if that is represented in the space around you.
That's interesting. Talk about a little bit that idea about the pictures of the kids and, like, evolving with them. What does it do if you're keeping pictures? Because it's so funny, because you know that happens all the time. You go into people's houses and there's tons of pictures of the kids as babies. So what is that energetically doing?
Well, what it does is that literally people, keep seeing them too much as the small babies and act upon them like they're my babies, right? But meanwhile, I mean, I have grown up kids. So literally, if I have pictures there as babies, I'm telling to them, well, you're still my baby. That's kind of a cute thing. But that doesn't mean that I see them for who they really are at this point. They're grown-ups, yeah? And it's sometimes people telling me, like, I don't want to go back to my mom's place because it's all me with baby pictures. So they sometimes avoid coming even back because they're, like, considered a baby. Well, they're really not. They're grown-ups. So make sure the pictures stay current. So I remember in that case, I asked the mom to take away like 90% of the pictures when they were babies, but adding pictures of, you know, like on parties, Christmas, Thanksgiving, pictures of the family with the grown-ups. And the children were more likely to go back home and felt like more seen, like more respected for who they are now. So it's like, it's kind of a cute thing as a mom and dad, but from the perspective of the children, it's actually not what they want.
That makes total sense, actually. I know you're someone who's pretty big on like writing goals down and like what you want to create. Talk about like the process of that for you. Like how often do you do it? Yeah. How often do you edit it? And what do you do with it? Is it like a special diary or is it a separate page every time because you don't want to connect it to other energy?
Well, I think it depends on who you are. Some people love journaling about it. I'm somebody that just, I have a book where I put my goals in, but then I kind of take goals for the year. That's always very important to me. I have my lifelong goals, like things I want to accomplish in this world. And I call that my impact goals, like how many people do I want to reach? How many people do I want to support? How many money do I want to one day ongoing giving to charity? Like my impact goals, right? And then like, you know, I want to be a great mother, great wife, great grandma, right? All these things. Those are like my impact goals for long term. And perhaps that can be part of the travels I want to do and you know, things I want to, you know, experience in my life. And that's one page for me. Like that's like, or one or two pages, that's like my impact goals. The second is always my goals for the year, because I always work with a vision board for the year. I love having a vision board where I put, you know, the goals up and some pictures. And based on the Chinese New Year, we're working with each time different colors and different images that are related with the Chinese New Year. I have a specific program each year that my students take. And then that is per year, right? And then there are sometimes goals that I write down, like for each new program, for example, that I'm launching, I will write specific goals for that. Or I have a meeting sometimes and I'm like, oh, this is an important meeting. Let me write some goals down. What do I want to accomplish there? So there are ongoing goals writing that I'm doing. And I always, of course, start with the word I am, because, and I do the capital I am, because then it means I'm connecting with the God presence in myself. And I always write it in the current tense because it's all happening here and now. Right? Because even if things manifest in the future, if I don't start here and now, it's not going to manifest. I always write with a golden pen. Because gold is the quality level that I want. It's the excellence, like Olympic Games. You want to go for the golden medal. The silver is nice, but hey, people talk about you when you have a golden medal. So I write a gold-looking pen. And I always sign my goals. Very important. It's like a contract with the universe. Sign your goals, put a date on it, so it becomes like a contract. And then what is very important, where do you place all your goals? Where do you place your vision board? Where do you place your journal? And that is something that people can find out by going to the free Mary Diamond app. So they just put in Mary Diamond for in the app stores. And then you put in your birthday and your birth gender because it connects in with your original DNA. And so then you will get a number. And my number is 5. And then based on that, you will get a success direction. And so people can literally look that up. Then in the app, there's a compass. And my success direction is Southwest. Yeah. So in the Southwest, that's actually behind me here in space, I have there my goals. Yeah. So I put there my goal book. Yeah. Could be that you can hang a vision board there. I don't do that because it's in my bedroom, because you see it all the time. And I don't want, it's like between me and the universe. I don't want
that. Right. It's private.
Private. Right. But that's what people do. They put it in their success direction. Why is that important? But because that success direction is connected with your feng shui of your personal vibration, and it will manifest 33% faster and more effortless than if you would put it in direction that is not connected with you. And this is one fact that people have really experienced. So when you look at the compass, there are some empty areas. Now, when you put your vision board in an empty area for you, or an area that, or you put it in an area that is really dedicated to you, you feel the shift right away. Yeah. So people feel like things are not manifesting fast. It's slower when it's in an empty area, because it's just, there's no flow for you there. And when you put it in a good direction, it actually, the flow is so much faster. And that is where things manifest very, very quickly.
So I want to get back to the directions, but I have a question still about the goals. So like you write them in, let's say, your journal or your book, you put them in your success spot. Do you revisit them? Do you say them daily? Or is it once you put them in the contract, you're kind of like the contract is set?
Well, I always say to people, it's good in the beginning to read them regularly. Yeah, because then you'll remind yourself about it. Mm-hmm. I'm quite clear on my impact goals for a long time, right? Because I read them so many times. I don't have to reread that. But my yearly goals, sometimes I'm looking back at my vision board like, oh, done. Then I put a little sticker on it and say, thank you, universe, right? Mm-hmm. So, or I put it or write it next to it, thank you. Like, I go back and just reading it again. Sometimes you're thinking like, oh, it's not really what I want anymore. That's fine. Then just, you know, say thank you, but and write a new one, right? So you need to revisit because life changes, right? It's not always, you know, what you know at this moment that you perhaps want to do later on, right? So I revisit it, I reread them. I always read them out loud, because when you just read it with the mind, like just in your mind voice, it's not so strong, but when you speak it out, I always say you're already creating the vibration in the air, in the universe. So it's already an action when you read it out loud. When you read it out loud, with positive energy, like excited that this is going to happen. Not like I am going to be like, yes, I'm going to do this. So be excited and joyful and happy. And always end with thank you. Thank you, universe. Thank you, God, for showing me the way, right? Because we don't have to understand the how of things, but we have to be grateful of how it's going to unfold.
I mean, talk a little bit about that, because I feel like that kind of combines the human part, 33%, and the environment part. Talk about the idea that when you're saying it, how you want to feel versus, like you said, you want to be like this. Talk about the importance of that.
Yeah, it is really using your human potential at that mind, right? The mindset, the heart, it needs to be aligned. You go into action. And always say when you read something, then go into like, what can I do today to go into action towards that? Perhaps as you're reading it, you're thinking, oh, I could call this person that do that right away. Or because as you're reading it, you get inspiration too. Yeah. Like, oh, I could send an email to that person, or I could post something about it. Like, oh, anybody that can help me with manifesting this, like, you know, start being collaborative with your goals. Don't see it as a, these are my goals, this is me, and somehow they need to manifest. Right. So read it with a positive mind. Feel positive about it. Take a positive action towards it. Don't wait. Yeah, it's like people sometimes waiting too long. Like literally putting that Oscar out is an action. Like literally speaking it out is an action. So as you become, I call it more living it. Like living it can be visualizing sometimes and thinking, oh, I would love to go visit this country. right? So recently, for example, I was thinking, oh, it's been so long I've been in Hawaii. And so I was like, a few weeks ago, I was like sitting like, oh, I would like to go to Hawaii. Oh, I haven't really written a goal about it. Okay, let me add it to my goal list. Hey, I'm going to go to Kauai, like it's one of my favorite islands. And so one of the actions you can take is visualizing about it, yeah? So as I was like sitting there daydreaming, oh, remember that time we went to Kauai, I mean, where the kids were so small. And so it would be so great to have my kids with me again, right? And I'm talking to my husband about it in a positive way. And I was like, oh, I would love to go back. So that are action points. And literally a week later, I'm meeting old friends of mine and they're like, oh, Marie, we have a house in Kauai. You know, we're there for 2 weeks. You are invited to come and stay with us for a week with the whole family. And I'm like, ta-da, right? So because you're getting into the frequency of that, not just thinking it, writing it down, speaking about it, daydreaming about it. Oh my God, it was such a great time. So yeah, booked my flights. I'm going to Hawaii.
I love that. I mean, do you find for you, I mean, it was so long ago that you started, and I want to hear that story too, Feng Shui for you, but have you noticed through the years it happens faster for you?
Oh yes, totally. Yes. It grows much faster because you're constantly in that flow of manifestation, right? It's like you have built up a muscle, right? It's right. Like, I definitely couldn't go to the Olympics for sport, but I can definitely go to the Olympic Games for manifestation, right? Because literally I have practiced this for 30 years and more. So it's like your muscles have built that up. Yeah. Now in the beginning, people will perhaps practice with a parking spot, right? To find the ideal parking spot. And then they will try to use it for perhaps attracting a career, perhaps on attracting a loved one. Like you need to start understanding that it's something you build up. It's not overnight that suddenly you know everything. But I'm telling you how fast it can go, right? So
right.
Every day I'm asking the universe, show me who I need to help in this world today. Yeah. So I'm asking that. It's a request. Yeah. And so I'm driving. I need to go to a client in Malibu, and normally I would take my own car, but my husband needed a car for some reason. So I said, okay, I'll take an Uber, and I would take normally, a bigger car in the Uber section because I want some space. And so at this time I was like, my intuition said, no, let's take just a normal car with Uber. So I do that. I just follow always my intuition because that's part of the flow, is that you listen so well to your intuition because your manifestation voice is giving you direction, right, through your inner GPS. And so I'm sitting in the car and I have all these phone calls to do. And then I hear this man is listening to a Russian audio. And I'm like, this is Russian, right? He said, yeah. I said, what are you listening at? He said, oh, since 3 days, I've been listening to this audio on something called The Secret. It's about the law of attraction.
Oh.
And I'm like, wow, that's interesting. Hi, I'm Marie Diamond. I'm actually in, of course, you don't hear my voice. It's in Russian dubbed, right? So, and he's like, oh my God, yeah, I've heard your voice. Like I said, well, it's not my Russian, not my voice, but it was so interesting. The guy was like, oh my God, I've just been focusing on this for 3 days and already attracted somebody, literally 3 days.
Attracted you.
To attract me in his car. And I said to him, well, it's very interesting because normally I would not have been in such a small car because I never do. I take their car. And he's like, but apparently I'm always asking, show me what I can do today for supporting somebody. And this is not about paid clients. This is just support, right? And so the guy was just so in bliss. He was like so in tears. Like, oh my God. And I said, well, remember, it works. Otherwise, you would not have had me in the car. There are only 24 people in that movie, on that audio. And
I mean, that's crazy.
Right?
Did he pick your brain for anything? Was he like, tell me this? Like,
I have 10 more minutes. ask me any questions, right?
Amazing. That really is amazing. And it is amazing how fast it is. You know, talk a little bit about, because I one of the things you've said before that I really like, and it goes to this idea of you have to kind of feel the vibration. You also were talking about like go for your dreams, obviously, ask for whatever it is you want, but don't ask that something that's so far away that you yourself doesn't believe it can actually happen.
Well, I would say yes and no, right? So in a sense, like when I started this process when I was 15, then when I was on the other side and I, you know, I had a near-death experience and I heard there that I was here to enlighten more than 500 million people, I mean, that was my first goal. But to be honest, that was really super big. I could never out of myself. And that is like a dream that is almost not possible. But I actually, when you have these dreams or things that come to you, don't deny that. Yeah. Don't say, oh, that's not realistic. I mean, that was not realistic at 15. Yeah. But what I did was I would start saying that and up loud and say, I'm here to enlighten more than 500 million people. But I also am humble in that, in the sense that I would say to God, the universe, please show me how. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So if that's the case, yes, I'm up for it. Yeah. But I don't know how, right? That's the humble part of it. So, and then I would get like little steps. Yeah. I would like, oh, I could start in my community being helping the disabled people, you know, with their wheelchairs when they have to go to the church, for example. I don't know that enlightened part, what that really meant. Like it really meant for me making a difference. Yeah. So then I thought like, well, what if I become a lawyer and start working for the government? So I became a governmental lawyer. So writing laws for, you know, the population of Belgium, where I was born. So it's like, I was doing that, right? And then I became more and more people start asking me because coaching them because I was so positive. And I started a business around that, start teaching about meditation, about enlightenment, start studying feng shui. So it's like, I did not know that one day I would be with you today, right? So I did not know one day I would be in a movie called The Secret that has reached more than 500 million people. Yeah. So I had no idea, but you have to understand, it's okay to have big life goals, but also have the humbleness to know that you need some extra guidance to get to that point. Yeah.
Right.
And so I didn't say no to that. When people have big dreams, I say to people, yes, accept that. This is given to you. I don't know if you'll get there, but be humble about it to ask guidance from God, because without God in the universe, you will not be able to do it. Yeah.
Right.
So I love big goals. I love big impact numbers. I remember many years ago, I met this woman who was, she's called Grandma Sparky, and she brings the blue ribbons forward. And she was telling me like 20 years ago, she said, Marie, I want to reach millions of people to encourage them, empower them that they are valuable. And each time she would go to people and say, you're valuable. And she put this blue ribbon on for you to remind you how powerful, how valuable you are. She was telling me this. And I said, well, Grandma Sparky, you know, she's like, Marie, I'm 65. Like, how can I? And said, now she has reached more than 150 million people. The Dalai Lama got a blue ribbon from her. You know, Obama got a blue ribbon from her. I mean, she's 85 now and she still continues. So it doesn't matter that you have big goals, but she always was tapping into and receiving the guidance from God to universe, whatever that's called for you. And she didn't say no to that big goal. Yeah. So embrace it and see how you're led to that. And so I saw her again a few weeks ago, and she's speaking on one of my online conferences in September. And I'm like, of course she made that manifest, but because she became a vessel of the universe. Yeah. She didn't do it based on her ego. Yeah. When you have big goals, don't bring your ego in there. Yeah. right? So if you really have huge impact goals and dreams for yourself, for your family, become a vessel of the universe instead of thinking you with your ego can manifest it.
I mean, that's a huge differentiation,
yeah.
Like the vessel part. And you were saying something once, and I think that's what I was referring to more about, like if someone's calling in money specifically, and let's say you're making $1,000 a month now, maybe going to like $1 million a month might be such a stretch your body won't even believe it's going to happen. So then it's like a disconnect. Maybe it's like slowly build to it.
Yeah, definitely when you talk about money, right? You need to.
The future is a hefty responsibility and not one that we take lightly. But then taking things lightly has never been what Hefty is about. That's why we've created the Hefty Renew program that turns hard to recycle plastics into valuable resources like park benches and building materials. To participate, simply fill up an orange Hefty Renew bag with accepted items, tie it up, and drop it in with your regular recycling. That's it. It's that easy. It's time to rethink recycling with Renew. Particular valued resources may vary by geography. More info available at heftyrenew.com.
You stretch yourself, yeah? So you can still have a big impact number, like thinking, well, I'm, you know, in my life, I want to have a seven-figure income or a multiple seven-figure income. That is your long-term goal. But then your yearly goal cannot be, I go from 1,000 to 1,000,000, right? Because in that year, I mean, it could happen, but it's better to open yourself up more and more to stretch yourself to go like, well, I want to go from making $2,000 a month to making $20,000, right, per month, or 10,000, right, whatever it is. So in that sense, you're opening yourself, especially around money, because a lot of people get in resistance. And of course, you can put on your vision board, you know, that Ferrari, that jet set life, you can put it on there. It doesn't mean you will have it, but like I put, you know, a jet on my vision board. And not because I want to have one, because I'm like, I don't think I will want that even, to be honest, but I wanted to attract clients that have jets. Yeah. And I remember after I put it there, 5 months later, I was flying with a jet to a client. Yeah. So yeah. I want that kind of clientele. Yes. So it doesn't mean I want that myself. To be honest, I probably wouldn't, but yeah, I want to have perhaps a better car, or I want to live in certain areas. So, but stretch yourself towards that, yeah? It took some time also to live in huge places and live in million-dollar homes. I mean, I started from a small home. Like, when I was with my husband, we had, like, a very old home that was barely sufficient for anything, to where I now live in Bel Air, you know, L.A. So it took some time.
Yeah. So everyone has, what I love about what you do, which is different, I think, than the traditional feng shui that we hear about sometimes, is it's very specific to the person.
Yes.
So, which is what you were talking about before. If you go onto your app, you can find out very quickly what your power number is. Mine was 9 because I went onto your app before.
Yeah.
And then from there, you can find out the directions. And what I love that you do, because, oh my God, how many times have I sat there trying to figure out like exactly what direction something's in? You have the compass on the app that moves, like you showed us. But for those who can't see and are listening, it's a compass on the map that moves. So if you stand in the middle of the rooms that you want to make these changes, it'll tell you exactly what corner, what side that is your success, your health sector, your relationship, yeah. Your wisdom. So if, I guess, what happens if, let's say, you were saying in your success sector, you should definitely put like your goals there, or that's the area to make sure, like you put your Oscars there. What happens if in that spot is a door?
Yeah. Well, actually, a door is always a positive thing to have there, because it opens the energy into your success direction. So unless a bathroom on the other side, then that would not be good. But, you know, if you stand from the center of the room, you know, there's space left or right next to the door, or even on the door. I say to people, hang something on the door. Like, you can put paper there. That's fine. And you cannot always do it perfectly, right? Feng Shui is not a perfect science in that sense. It's possible you cannot do it in your office, but you can activate your success in your bedroom or in your living room. We always go with focusing on areas where you spend at least 3 to 5 hours a day or night. Yeah. So, yeah. For example, my wisdom direction here is quite small because there are two doors. So I give you a little bit of space, but then I activate it more in my living room, for example. Yeah. So if these are the three major places, your bedroom, where you work, and your living space or family room, wherever you spend the most time. So it's like you try to activate it, and sometimes you can, sometimes you can't. You find, again, each time you change something, the energy starts moving. Yeah. So even if it's 1% you're changing, that already will be a big impact.
So, and what if, like, I know you've said before too, that you don't recommend the kitchen, but what if that's where you spend 3 to 5 hours a day? What if you're in there the most?
Well, you know, I would say to people, try not to work at least in the kitchen, looking and seeing your stove and your sink.
That's interesting. I do that sometimes. I sit at the island sometimes, which stares at the stove.
Because you're burning something and you're drowning something. Yeah. So not a good thing. Yeah. So you can sit in your kitchen as long as you're not looking at that field of your kitchen. So, and if that's just for once in a while, that is fine. Right. But for example, if that's where you are writing your programs or you have to pay the bills, never do that in the kitchen, right? Or if you are making...
This is huge, by the way, because the kitchen is such a central point for people now. So this is like a really amazing piece of information. So keep going. So don't pay the bills in the kitchen.
Major phone calls. I would never do that in the kitchen, right? So think about, you know, you're in a place where the servants would be. Yeah. So where the chef, where the cleaning lady would be. So if you make major decisions, if you want to have major conversations with your family, go in an area that is not your kitchen. Yeah. So the living room where everybody can sit and see each other. And just think about the queen or the king would not work in the kitchen.
It's so funny because I was just this weekend in Newport, Rhode Island, touring all the, I don't know if you know about it, but it has all those old mansions from like the Gilded Age where you can tour. And I was just saying, it's so crazy because you go back in time and you can feel exactly like, I mean, you couldn't have a house like that unless you had a full staff. I mean, the kitchens were, I don't even think the people who own the homes ever went into the kitchens. It was... So it's just funny that you're saying it. I'm coming straight off of walking into many of those types of homes that used to operate that way.
They do. And nowadays, you know, people, sometimes you come into apartments, the first thing you see is a kitchen. But that's not good for their money. It's not good for their relationship because all the positive energy that comes in through the front door gets literally into the sink. So the first thing I always say to any of my clients, if they look for houses, make sure the kitchen is the last part that you can go to. Like you come into a living room, right? Come into a hallway to the living room. And then perhaps you see the kitchen. That is fine, but not the first thing, because all these people always have issues with finances and relationships.
What if, and that's really interesting too. So what if your house is set up like that? However, there's a door or something off your kitchen that you use as a family a lot just because it's easier. You bring your groceries in there. Now it's just where you go. And then friends who know you well start to use that too. Is that bad or is that different because it's not the main thoroughfare of the house?
The main door is always the main energy field because that I always say the queen, the king, the president would never use the back door, right? That's for servants. That's for grocery shopping. Let's say you come into the garage and it's not a back door, but it's like a kind of a back door. I would say to people, yeah, if you come with errands, that is fine. But when you go out in the world to major meetings, to family meetings, use your front door to go in and out. Yeah. And if you have friends, don't let them in the back door, but always let them come into the front door because you welcome them in a better way. And they come into the living room, they're like, oh, wow. I mean, people can come if they take the round, they can go to my back door. I don't want them to see the back, because the front is always beautifully set up. You welcome them. It's a higher quality of frequency.
Huh. That's so interesting. But let's say nowadays Instacart's a big thing, right? Or DoorDash, like all these people get things delivered to them. Like, is it fine if you're like, yes, drop it off at the door by, let's say, the kitchen?
Yeah, that is not a problem, right? I wouldn't mind that, but it's about you, right?
Right.
For example, I had to go to a major interview yesterday. I literally would put the car out. I would come back in, use my front door to get into the, yeah? Because it's a major interview and I want to go out in the world as a queen and not as a servant.
That is, it's such a, those are such small tweaks, and it's such an interesting way to look at things.
Yeah.
Okay, but so
my
go ahead.
Really, it shifts their value, right? In the world, and the value about themselves.
Now, if you were paying bills or sitting just doing work, like not in a typical office, so you're like, okay, I'm not going to look in my kitchen. I know you've talked about how to have like a desk setup, but and we'll go to there. But let's just say you're not even a desk person. Let's say you like to sit on the couch. You have your laptop. You know, a lot of people do that now. There's no like traditional office. They just kind of sit on a couch or on their bed. Or talk about that a little bit.
So the first thing, we always want to make sure that when we position ourselves, that we see the people coming into the room, so that we never sit with our back to the incoming vibration. So let's say you're in a sofa and people would come in through the front door. Make sure you see the people coming in, even if nobody ever comes in. Yeah, it just, it means that you're in the power position. In your office, never sit with your desk against the wall, because you're literally hitting consciously or subconsciously a wall of creativity, a wall of money, so a wall of people. You're lonely. There's nobody that can sit on the other side. So always make sure you feel that you can see the people coming in. Like, I'm talking to you, but I see the door. If my husband would come in now, he's probably the only one, and my kids that come in, I would see them coming in. Yeah.
Is the door on your side or is the door in front of you? Can the door be on your side, but you still see it?
Particular. So think about how your eyesight is. As you look forward, you can kind of see 45 degrees left and 45 degrees right. Yeah?
Okay. Yep.
So, but in the moment you have to move your body or your head, that is, you're not longer in a power position. So think about the President of the United States. There are four doors in the Oval Room. That the place that he sits is the only place he can see the four doors, yeah? Because now it doesn't need to be that you see all the people coming in and out, but the main one, yeah? The people, if you would use that room, how would you walk in? Make sure you see that. And then always make sure you have some support behind you, right? So it could be a wall, it could be a high back chair, like something that you feel there's some support. And always make sure there's space in front of you. Like sitting in the living room, you have your coffee table, right? But if you're sitting against the wall or against the window, there's nobody that can sit on the other side. So literally, I have a chair here on the other side. So symbolically, somebody can talk to me. Like, you are here digitally, but I have put a chair there for you, Ty, right?
Yep.
So you're there energetically, yeah?
Yep.
So things, and just by doing that, not just in your home, but any conference meeting you have, you go to a restaurant, you meet somebody in a coffee area, just make sure you see the door where people come in, and you'll be in a power position. Your brain is different, by the way. We have seen many times, we've done muscle testing, we've done encephalograms, that when you're seeing the door, your brain goes into alpha brainwaves. When you don't see the door, your brain goes into beta brainwaves. What does that mean? Alpha means you're creative, you're confident, you're happier. When you're in beta, you're more thinking about fear, you're focused more on lack of concentration, you think more in the past. When you see the door, you think about the future. Think about, you're more present, yeah? So, I mean, I would say that the rulers, the leaders of the world, they somehow knew that. They always would position themselves in such a way.
Well, that used to be the comment with like the mob, wasn't it? Like, the mob leader would never eat with his back toward, he was always in the position where he could see who's coming in the restaurants, just so they wouldn't kill him.
And I say that sometimes, it's like, you know, in the Western movies, you know, if you sit with your back to the door, a villain can come in and shoot you, right?
Yeah.
I think it's connected with our primitive vibration, right? So our primitive human being that we once were, like many millions probably ago, is that, think about, there's a cave opening, right? And wild animals could come in. Would you sit with your back to the cave and be eaten up by, you know, whoever is coming in? Or you would sit yourself that you can grab enough time a weapon when an animal would come in and kill it? Yeah. So it's also, it gives you protection. It gives you a feeling of safety when you see the door, but it gives you a feeling of power.
So what about, back to like when I kind of asked, like if a door is in, let's say, your success sector, what if like so many houses now are built with like tons of huge windows or walls of windows? What if like an entire side are just windows and like you have success in there or health in there or anything?
Well, you can still put something there. Like literally you can put a table there, or you can hang something, or you can work with the colors of the curtains, you know, or you could put a, you know, a crystal there. I mean, could be that you need to use your outside balcony to activate, or perhaps it's your garden. So it don't have to stop with your house. It can be literally activated outside your house, what you can see through the window.
So what are things like people can do? Well, we'll start with success. Like what are things people can put in their success area to help boost?
Well, I would say success definitely, if you have any certificates of the business you're in, a logo of your company, it could be awards that you have received, even if they're nothing related with what you're doing right now, it just, it shows you have been the best in something. Then books on success, any files that you have, your business cards, anything symbolically that or physically that is related with your business. Yeah. So, for example, for me, it would be my books, right? I would put there also my courses. But it, anything that for you, and if you don't have anything, you can go on Amazon and get, for example, the success principles of Jack Canfield, right? Or a book like Happy Money from Ken Honda, or, you know, a book on money from, you know, I'm just thinking about the name. I forget the name now. But anyhow, Tony Robbins, that's the name I was looking for. He has a really beautiful book on money. So, I mean, put some things out that you can work with, but you can work with colors. On success, anything with blues and golds are really positive always. Could be a blue candle, a golden candle, something that just gives you that vibration.
And then what about for like wisdom? What does the wisdom sector do for you? Does it just help you?
Yeah, so the wisdom can be related with several things. First of all, wisdom stands for your connection with God. So you can put there religious or spiritual items. But it also connects it with knowledge. So it could be that you can put a bookcase there with books that you're reading, or for children, I always love to have there the school books, or even the agenda that they're studying that year or that month. It could be that they get special reports, they can put it there. So anything that you want to study or anything that relates with your spiritual and religious connection.
What about if you are someone who has like a spiritual and you have like an altar? Would you put the altar in the wisdom section?
The wisdom direction is a really good direction for your altar. Yeah. Because again, it expresses your connection going within yourself or with higher up.
And what about like health? What are things you'd put in the health section?
So in health direction, I always suggest people to or put books on health. They could put their supplements there. I would suggest they can always put something that is growing, like a beautiful orchid or a bamboo. If it's in your bedroom, I would not do the real ones. I would do fake ones in that case, or an image of flowers that are blooming, or a landscape that is beautiful, there's sunlight in it. I would never put a winter landscape, for example, because that shows it's winter and it's cold. Sometimes people put like images of forests there, and I said, if the forest is like there's almost no light in it, then it will not help you. Definitely don't have any spiky plants or any dead plants there. Nothing that is like cacti. You want to remove that from your collection. Yeah.
What about you were just saying, oh my God, hold on. You were just saying in the bedroom, you for sure would not put plants.
Yeah. One of the things that we suggest is not to have plants. Now there's a lot of controversial around that, but I decided to go with the energy that it's better not to show too much to your subconscious mind that you're in nature at night. Plant is fine if it's like a fake plant, so because you know it's a fake energy. But most of the time I avoid that, to be honest, because you can instead put a colors green, like anything with green, yeah? Or an image of flowers, for example. Because if we have too much green energy around us, in the bedroom, we feel like we are in nature, and when we're in nature, we are more alert. Yeah, because it's like, right? So you don't want to go camping because, I mean, you can go camping, but not at your bedroom. Yeah.
So what if you happen to live like in the country, or again, you have a house with a ton of windows, and you, nature feels like it's inside?
That is fine. You know, during the day, that's great. That creates a lot of positive vibration. At night, you need to really, the night space is a yin space. You need to really connect in with your inner self. Yeah. So you want to have more earth tones there anyhow. Tones that are like beiges, peaches, pinks, browns, or metal colors like whites. You can even do yellows if you want, grays and golds. You don't want to have too much that nature. And anyhow, when you're closing off the curtains, you don't see nature anyhow. Yeah. So you need to go like back to the womb energy.
That's really interesting. And what do you suggest? Because I know you've said before, like, obviously, don't make sure there's like no trash cans in some of your sectors. And you said earlier, like, if it's a door to the toilet, that's a whole nother thing. Is there something people should be doing in their bathrooms?
Well, I would say keep it clean and make sure it smells well, and don't put images of people in there, especially from your loved ones, because literally, you know what you're doing in your bathroom. There's a certain smell, you know, it's a waste energy, right? So don't do that. Yeah. Just keep things quite, neutral in the bedroom, in the bathroom. But we didn't talk about relationship directions. So let me talk about that. So there's three parts on the relationship. So professional relationships focus on your office area, the workspace. And you can put in there, for example, depending on where your clients are. It could be if it's USA, you can put a flag. If it's global, you're online, you can put a globe there. You can put images of your team there. You can definitely put a picture of your family there, but don't overwhelm your family. Don't have too many pictures of your children in your office, because you literally, that's not where you want him to keep coming to.
Did you put your Oscars then in the relationship sector in your office?
No, in my success direction. Yeah, I do. But for example, I put books of people I work with, or images of my high-end clients. I put them in my relationship direction. So that's why I never show it on public, because some of them I have NDAs, so I cannot. In your bedroom, focus on your romance level, right? So you and your partner, or you don't have a partner, what kind of partner would you like? Don't put solitary images, put hearts, put, an image of some, like a couple that you feel connected with. And do avoid any water images in the bedroom, because you don't attract a lot of romance with that. Yeah.
Ooh.
So
that's
avoid that.
No.
Yeah. And so the living room, focus on family and friends. You know, what's in your relationship direction there? Like in my relationship direction, I have my family there. My grandson can be there. I would never put a picture of my grandson in my bedroom, to be honest. because I focus there on my husband and me.
So that's interesting. What if there's like a TV in any of those sections?
Yeah.
If like any of the ones we talked about.
Well, if it's anyhow in a bedroom, I would always cover the TV because the TV acts like a mirror and doubles the energy of the bed. So we don't want that. Any mirrors in the bedroom, that creates more loneliness or more stress in the relationship because communication will be affected by it. So if it's a TV in my office, I don't mind because I have a TV program and I'm a lot on television. So that's kind of a positive symbol. Literally, I remember the first time I was on The Secret, I had my TV in my relationship direction in my living room. So I thought like, well, that definitely helped.
Well, that's interesting. So it's interesting. It's like instead of fighting some of these modern things, maybe use them in the right places.
Yeah, correct.
I mean, so you, and then I'll let you go because I know it's been a long time, but I do want to talk about how incredible your story is that you were meditating from like the age of 7 or something like that, right? Correct. I mean, you've been really connected very young. Was that just an innate knowing? What was it that made you so connected so early?
Well, you know, as a child, I already could see energy. I think most children do see it, but I kind of kept my seeing possibilities. And my parents, thank God, were aware of it, and they were very positive towards it. I'm a Christian from background, a Catholic. And so a Catholic priest had told my parents, predicted, because he was a clairvoyant himself, that I would be a child that would see energy. And that it was a gift of God. So they would never have to fear about it. So I would tell things to my parents, or like, oh, somebody's sick, or somebody died, or, you know, this person has this problem. I just could tell that to them, and they would listen, and then they would, you know, pass this on to the family or to the person that I was talking about. So, and, you know, I had a kind of, everybody in my family was kind of aware of it. Yeah. But for me, I was very, very religious. You know, I would go to the church. That was like, for me, a connection I could make. I was always in the trees, sitting high up in the trees, seeing the world, being in that state of being. That was kind of my thing. But at 7, I had a spiritual mentor that came to me and told me my first meditation, that actually it's still a meditation I teach. And it's actually on my app. It's called the Tubes of Light Meditation. And he taught me how to work with colors, because as a child, how could he otherwise, you know, tell me how to meditate? So I started working with colors, and I do practice this now more than 54 years. That's a long time already. The same meditation, I'd still do it every morning. And of course, later on, I learned more meditation, and he gave me more information. And that was like, for me, a place to be safe, because I was living in a home that was a lot of emotional and even physical abuse from my father, who was somebody who survived torture in concentration camps in during World War II. Really difficult time. So I always say I needed that probably very, very well. And for me to be ready also to start teaching at 30 years old, I had to start early.
I mean, that's incredible. And I'm sorry, that's a hard way to grow up too, because I know that I have that in my family as well. And then you said you had a near-death experience at age 13?
Yeah, at 15, I had a near-death experience. I was run over by a truck. And I was declared dead. And so my mother was not on the accident place, but she came a few minutes later because somebody ran to her because it was just around the corner. And so she jumped into the ambulance, which was actually a really good thing, because I was seeing her in the ambulance and I was like, what is she doing here? Right? And then there was this ambulance guy that was trying to resuscitate me. And I was thinking, I was 15, right? And I was having this idea, oh my God, he's so cute. Like, he had like blonde curly hair with blue eyes. And of course, I had no idea I was dead, right? And then I I literally went like through all dimensions, and I came to the other side. There were beings of light there. And there they said I was to return, that I was here to enlighten more than 500 million people. And I returned a couple of days later. And I told my mom, like, what are you doing in this ambulance? You were not with me. And who was this guy? My God, he was so cute. So I could confirm that I had seen right. So that for me was a very clear point that I had left my body.
I mean, that's insane. And it was very clear with you. Sorry, my dog's going crazy. And it was very clear, though. Like, you came back. It wasn't like fuzzy memories.
Oh, no, no. It was a very clear memory. And I can still see it till this moment. So clear. Now, what happened in the timeline, I don't know. For me, it experienced like it was 5 minutes. Yeah. While in reality, it was like 3 days till this whole process of dying and coming back in my body. But for me, it was just like popping out and popping back in. Yeah.
And then from that point on, you kind of felt like you had more direction. Again, like you said it earlier, you weren't sure what that was going to look like, but you definitely had this kind of purpose.
I had this purpose. And I always say laughingly, if I would be 50 now, I would start a TikTok account probably. to reach millions of people. But
and you probably reach people very quickly.
Yes, and quicker than now. But I had no idea I would have to become a lawyer, a functional master, that I was going to talk to you right now, you know, through this program. I had no idea because all this did not exist yet. Yeah, it was at a time for a 15-year-old. How could she know about feng shui? Because I had no idea. And it's only after a few months that I talked to my spiritual mentor that I asked him, what did I do wrong? And that he said to me, you have bad feng shui. And that's the first time I heard about the words. And he gave me the first steps to take. And then later on, he said, when I was 30, it's time to study this information. More and more people from China are coming to teach you this. And that's how I unfolded. But first I had to go to become a lawyer and work for the government before I could become a feng shui master.
So, and when you say your spiritual master, are you talking about like guides through your meditations?
It is what we call an immortal. So it's what some people call an ascended master. Yeah, so somebody that appears, like I literally could see him appear in my toy room, like at a playroom. And so for me, it was very real, right? And I could hear him talk. Actually, each time he would come in, my mom could hear him talk, but for some reason, she could never open the door to the playroom when he was there talking to me.
Oh, that's interesting, but she could hear him.
She could hear him. She's like, oh, you had a visit.
I mean, how lucky are you that your parents and that were so understanding? That's amazing.
Yeah, so, that was a great gift, I have to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, huge. So when, after your accident and you said why, he mentioned the words feng shui, but you said it was only till 30, he said, is when you'd start studying it.
Yeah, I got some basic principles, right? He told me, like, never sit with my back to the door. I knew my good directions. I knew the colors I needed to work with. He told me that everything around me was a vision board, that I had to really, change the images because the images were really bad in my old place. He asked me to move from the north side to the west side so I had more sunlight. I mean, there were some basic principles he had told me about that I kept practicing till I was 30, till he said, now it's time to learn more. Because it was the first time a book on feng shui was translated in Dutch. So that was like, I could not know more about it beforehand.
And maybe you weren't supposed to know more about it. Like, I don't know.
That's what I thought also. But I practiced these basic principles, even in my career already as a lawyer, I would sit always in a power position. So there were some things that I was totally aware of, yeah.
I mean, this is amazing. You're amazing. Thank you for all of these tips. And there's more, obviously, people now know about your app, which has a ton of information on it too. And you have so many books and you're just a wealth of knowledge. And thank you. I mean, I think your number is bigger than what they told you were going to affect. And to start with, I think you've gone beyond, as you like to say, and more, right? When you're making your goals, always say, and more.
500 million and more. I mean, 500 million is quite a big number already. So now it's definitely probably more indirect for sure, because of the people I work with that are billionaires or have billions of followers. So of course, that is part of it now. But yeah, they can start with the app. They can also get the book Feng Shui Your Life. My new book that is coming up, Your Home is a Vision Board, that is already in pre-order. So yes, there's my, of course, website, mariedamet.com. A lot of great tutorials on my Instagram, mariedamet official, and on the web and on the YouTube channel. So a lot to learn, and it's available for you to explore.
Thank you. And thank you for this amazing conversation. I'm really grateful that I got to meet you. So thank you.
Well, thank you, you too. And thank you for what you are doing in the world too, because you're creating a huge impact in the world too. Thank you for that.
Oh, thank you. I appreciate that.